Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. Today, wonderful day today, we have a special edition of the Con. Managed to get a hold, snag, poach, if you will, SCW Pro Tag Team Champion Nico Klein. He'll be joining us momentarily, so check that out, especially if you enjoy small independent wrestling. In the meanwhile, I'll get you some energy drinks, and we'll be right back with Nico Klein. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like Cass, drink Raise Energy. Hello, everyone. Another special edition of MLW Confusion tonight. I am speaking with former SCW Pro Tag Team Champion, one half of Partners in Rhyme, Nico Klein. How are you doing tonight, Rico?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you, man?
Oh, I am getting along. Want to throw out for everyone what a great pleasure it is to have you on the show. I love giving a shout out to all the SCW Pro guys. Just to be able to help out any way I can.
Yeah, man.
So that being said, we will start out with the basics. You know, you've been wrestling for a bit. How did you get into the, world of professional wrestling? How did you become a fan of the sport?
It probably started like right around 2005. I was probably like 5 or 6 years old. My grandpa would just always have it on TV on Mondays and Friday nights. And I just kind of went towards the TV every time it was on, to watch it. I started watching it at home, making it not just a grandma and grandpa's thing over at their house watching it. I'd start watching it at home. And then I watched WrestleMania 23 with Shawn Michaels and John Cena. And from that point on, I was hooked. And here we are.
So you mentioned Shawn Michaels and John Cena. Who else were your favorites getting into it at that time?
At that time, I'm going to say I was a really big John Cena fan. There wasn't really anybody that was going to trump him. But I really did like Rey Mysterio too, Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy. DX was always fun. Back then, it was just Raw was way different. So it was way more entertaining, so like the shenanigans that goes on. So anybody that was down to cause some ruckus was always a winner in my book.
See the way you referenced that's how we determine the generations of every person's kind of growing up with wrestling is still their favorite. So like I still look fondly back for the most part at the Attitude Era, because that's where I really cut my teeth as a wrestling fan, or as we'll call it, a fan independent of my parents, is when the Attitude Era came in to play for me. And honestly, now you're saying you're like 5 years old in like 2005 2006, now I feel like extra old as well, so thanks a lot.
it sucks, man, because I really do hate that I missed the Attitude Era. I have a brother that's like 32 33 years old, so he was alive during the Attitude Era, but unfortunately he's not a wrestling fan. So like I always tell him, like, man, dude, you were around like during a perfect time and you didn't really soak any of it in. So don't worry, I wish I was alive to witness all of it live. I had to go back and rewatch it, obviously. But yeah, man, that was a great time. What a time for wrestling.
Oh, and really, we can find the positives of, any time frame, whether it is going back where I'm wishing, like, man, I would have really liked to see Nick Bockwinkel in his prime and all that, extra old people and stuff. But of course, on the flip side, that's the beauty of kind of like the technological world that we live in now, where everything is so accessible that like things that were just on regional television, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, like we may have to work a little bit at it, but we can find a lot of that stuff online and just kind of relive it. But nothing as magical as the, the first time seeing the people that become our idols. Did you ever get the opportunity to see like Michaels or Ray Cena live?
Yeah, there are a couple live shows I was lucky like back in the day to go to. I mean, they're like I've always lived in my whole life I lived in Davenport, so right across the river is Moline, Illinois. We have an arena over there that back in the day we used to get like the Monday Night Raws right after pay-per-views, like whatever pay-per-view would be in Chicago on those Sundays, the next night would usually always be in Moline. So we got some pretty good Raws back in the day. But now it's just kind of like a live event type of shows that come there now. But yeah, I definitely got to see all the greats like from my time, Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, John Cena, Batista, Randy Orton, all of them, 06, 07, 08. So definitely got to see them, which is cool.
And a brief sidebar. Love. Well, I think it's Vibrant now, but it'll always be the Mark in my heart.
Yeah, the mark of the
For
Quad
the
Cities,
cities,
yes.
but yeah, no,
Yeah.
and they still come by. I don't know, at least I don't know, twice a year, maybe up to four
Yeah.
times. I don't know. They're coming up. Becoming was it this month or is it next month? They're coming swinging by
Yeah,
as parts.
I think it's next weekend, I believe they're coming. But yeah, now it's just usually just live events that come. Usually we never get any TVs, but it's all good, man. It's definitely a good fun time to go over there and watch a live event, man. They keep you entertained
Oh
and
yeah,
it's always a good time.
and honestly, I love the house shows more than television.
Oh,
I've gone to
most
both.
definitely. Yes.
But moving on from there, coming from there to now, what made you ultimately decide to get into professional wrestling?
So like right around like 2012 to like 2000, I would say like 14 or 15 about, I kind of like tuned out of wrestling and I never really paid attention to it. Like, I don't know, I was just in that phase of life where I would just put wrestling down as a kid and just thought I was going to move on from it. But there was a time I turned on Raw, like right around in 2014, and Seth Rollins was on TV cutting a promo in the middle of the ring. And like, I knew he was Tyler Black when he wrestled on the Indies because I've been here in Davenport. So I've seen him wrestle like when he was wrestling for SCW and all that back in the day. So as soon as I seen him out of nowhere on TV, because like when I was a little kid, I didn't know that like the guys I was watching like at SCW or any indie show could make it to TV. Like I didn't know that's how it worked as a kid. So fast forward some years, not watching some wrestling, and out of nowhere seeing Seth Rollins, aka Tyler Black, on TV, it blew my mind. I was like, wow, I just watched him wrestle here in Davenport, and now he's in on TV. It's crazy. So like I talked to my grandpa about it and he was like, yeah, man, you work your butt off and that's how it works. You get a tryout and hopefully you can get assigned to WWE after years and years of years of actually trying to put in the work. So I was like, I took that in consideration. And luckily, like in 2015, I believe it was, maybe 2014, they opened Black and Brave. And I seen that and I was like, man, there it is. There's a school. But at first I need to graduate high school. So I needed to graduate, and I didn't graduate until 2018. Once 2018 rolled around, I was like, okay, I'm gonna put some money together so I can go to Black and Brave and get this wrestling thing going. And in 2019, right as I went to make the payment for Black and Brave and waiting for my class to come up, I ended up tearing my ACL in my right knee. So when that happened, I had to have surgery, and I had to wait a year for the ACL to heal. Once it healed in May of 2020 is when I finally started at Black and Brave, and the rest is history. Now we are here.
And you bring up training on 2020. How did training through the pandemic go?
So we were actually class COVID. So my class was initially supposed to start like the first week of May 2020. But it didn't end up starting until like one of the last weeks of May. He pushed it back 3 weeks, and it like really sucked because we were always having to wear masks, and it was limited people down at the gym, and it wasn't like the full effect that what it was before and what it is now, because obviously COVID's not as big of a thing as it was. But during COVID, it was very limited to strict people coming in, mask all the time unless you were in the ring or unless you were working out. But it was crazy, but we made do, and we got to the grind. And I wouldn't change anything, to be honest. I mean, the only thing I really changed is having to wear the mask all the time. That kind of sucked. But it was just a time where we knew we needed to put the time in and get to work and learn how to wrestle. So that's just how I looked at it. I just tried the focus on the wrestling and try not to let the whole COVID part like ruin what was actually going on. You know what I mean? Because I was looking forward to Black and Brave.
It's one of those things. It's like, it's hard to, I mean, okay, the entire scenario of COVID was hard to imagine, but just doing some training such as pro wrestling, where a lot of it, especially in the school system. So unless you're, you know, get lucky and you can get one-on-one with someone, you know, is inherently very social, and it's all, you know, you're working out with the entire class, which could, you know, be 10, 20 people plus however many coaches there are, and, you know, have to closely interact with everyone, and now we're being told, you know, not to or can't do these large groups. And I was just, you know, that's something, one of the little things that fascinate me is just kind of like the differences between before and after. You brought up
What a crazy time,
right? How did you tear your ACL?
So I was just messing around with some buddies, just on some turf, two-hand touch football. I had some cleats on, and at the time I was not in very good shape. I was at the biggest, heaviest weight I've been at, like 270 pounds. I don't know. I just took a wrong step, and my knee just gave out on me, and I went down to the ground. And like when I went down to the ground, my leg was like folded in a normal position, just like if you would just like fold your leg normally, like in a 90 degree position. And I just heard something pop when I went down. So I was like, if my leg straightens, I think I'm okay and I can get up and everything's fine. So I straightened my leg and everything was fine. Like there was no pain straightening it. So I hopped up and started walking, and immediately, as soon as I took my first step on it, I knew something was wrong. It was just a pain that I never felt before. So I was like, man, yeah, we got to get this checked out. And sure enough, my old ACL and meniscus was torn.
Wow, that's crazy. Just before, you know, usually you hear the stories of this happening, like either A, in training, or after you've put in kind of the work in the ring. And you kind of started off, we'll say,
right away. Yeah. And it like the day that it happened, I was like, man, like, I hope we can still make this wrestling thing happen, because like, I already knew wrestling was going to be a journey. And I was like, well, coming back from this, you know, who knows what's going to happen. The first steps was getting a hold of everybody at Black and Brave and making sure I can get pushed back, you know, a year so I can have PT for a year and get the ACL back to where it needed to be. And they were all cool about that. So as soon as I was in the clear with them, I was like, okay, well, it's just time to, you know, get back to where I am now. So that way I can be ready for Black and Brave. So that's just what I did for the next year, and finally showed up and got to work in May 2020.
Do you think the tear and the rehab, I know you weren't trained prior to that, but do you think having that tear affects how you wrestle now in terms of your style?
Not necessarily. I was like very, 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 very lucky to have a very good doctor. And going into surgery and going into PT after surgery, they knew that I was going to be a pro wrestler and take a lot of impact to the knees. And like, we really need to work hard to make sure it was a very strong knee. So I was very lucky to have a very good doctor that did very great on my knee here in Davenport, Iowa. And my physical therapist here in Davenport, Iowa put me through, like, I did 8 months of physical therapy, I believe I did. And those 8 months, I probably dropped like 35 pounds just going to physical therapy, working on my legs and getting my knees right. So now in the ring, I really don't have to worry about it. You know, like, obviously you never want to take a wrong step, you know, and pray nothing ever happens. But thank God, like, I've never had to change anything because of it. It's nice, normal, and strong. And that's exactly where it needs to be. So we're doing good.
That's great. And just kind of, since you brought it up too, weight loss journey. I mean, even since I've seen you debut kind of as, we'll call it kind of a no-name guy in SCW to now, like, you know, there's been a very noted change in your physique. And had Eric Esnight on the show pretty near a year ago, and he really put over like the work you've done. Tell us about your weight loss journey.
So like I said, before previously, like right when I tore my ACL in like January 2019, I was 270, 275. And I knew I needed to lose weight going into Black and Brave. Obviously, tore the ACL, And it ended up not really gaining any weight, but really staying at that 270 until PT really kicked in. And I lost about 35 pounds, like I said, leading up to class in May of 2020. So I was about 250, 240, right around class time. About 240. And then we did class for 3 months and they put you through CrossFit. And I was very new to CrossFit. I didn't know what CrossFit was. That's pretty much the only thing I can really say about it. I didn't know what it was at all, you know, so I had to learn what it was first off, and then I learned that it will kick your butt. It is hard. CrossFit is hard, especially if you've never done it before. Just the workouts in general, the way they program it, just the way it is, and you know, the weightlifting part, the exercising part, the cardio, all of it. But I went through class for the 3 months and got down to probably about I only lost probably about 10, 15 pounds in class, nothing crazy. And I didn't really put on any muscle. It was just really losing weight from doing very much cardio from the CrossFit. It wasn't until after class I graduated, and then a guy that I'm pretty sure you're familiar with, and a lot of people that is watching this is familiar with, Devil Dog and Dustin Mosley, showed up at Black and Brave and graduated. And I hooked up with him and seen his workout plan and was like, you know what, man? I see how hard you work out. You know, I see you really take this seriously, and I need to get my body in better shape than what it is. So I kind of teamed up with him probably about 2 years ago and started working out with him and doing his workouts. And about 8 months into working out with him, he was like, all right, we're going to go on these 3 mile runs about four times a week. Doesn't matter. Usually it's just during the summer, obviously never during the winter time, but it doesn't matter how hot it is. We're going to go out there and slave and get this 25, 30 minute cardio session in a day. So once I started doing that, that's when the weight really started coming off. And on top of eating good and working out and doing those runs, we've gotten down to about 205, 210 pounds from that 270. So thanks to the Devil Dog for putting me on this plan and making me stick to it. And we're going to see how far we can keep going and try to get the body down to, I'm not really cared about the weight point at this point. Just, I want to look good. You know what I mean? So we'll just see, just trying to keep making myself look good and look tighter every single day.
There you go. Yeah. And obviously it's working. As I said, like, I've, you know, been watching SCW Pro for a while now. And like, I, you know, I've seen the change from when I first went, like, oh, okay, that's, you know, Nico Klein to where you're at now. And, you know, it's working. You're doing the work, man. And I applaud it.
Thank you.
And moving on, kind of going back with the training with the Black and the Brave, everyone who isn't, we'll say, like, from the area knows, like, oh, that's Seth Rollins' school, but they don't seem to, you know, they don't really know the other faces behind the scenes, such as Matt Mayday / Crotch, and Merrick Brave. What's it like working with those two and training with them?
Oh, it's awesome, man. Merrick, he's the guy, man. I've had a lot of opportunities in pro wrestling thus far, and a lot of those opportunities have came because of Merrick Brave. And that's just the truth. I mean, that's not me just bragging or talking. That's a stone cold truth. So hats off to that man always, Merrick Brave. And he's also like, he teaches you everything down there, you know, every single move that we run through and we learn, you know, he demonstrates it or has somebody demonstrate it, but he explains it. And then you have a Matt Mayday Crotch in there with you the whole time learning the move to make sure you're doing it safely. And he sits in there with every single, Matt Mayday sits in there with every single person that goes through Black and Brave and watches them do every single move and makes sure they do it right before they move on every single time. And hats off to him as well for putting up with that, because that's a lot of people. You know, you got to sit there watching 142 drop kicks in one day, you know, and then move on to the next move and do the same thing, you know. Hats off to him. So hats off to the coaches. And also, they, any questions you ever have, them guys will give you or try to give you the best answer that they can. So that's always cool as well, that you always know that you're getting somebody with probably a really good answer.
And kind of while we're on the topic of Merrick, and we're going to jump ahead a bit and we'll come back, but you've had the opportunity to feud with him in SCW.
How's
that feel, being able to kind of feud with your mentor?
It's crazy, right? Because I was going to SCW shows when I was younger, so I would see Merrick wrestle years ago. And then before I joined Black and Brave, like in 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, I was going to SCW shows as well, seeing Merrick. And I would always sit back and think, like, you know, how crazy would it be? For one, I thought how crazy would it be to even go to Black and Brave and, like, have him as a coach. And then I would always think, like, how crazy would it be to wrestle him? And then when the opportunity presented itself, I was like, wow, we're here, and that is what's happening, you know. So no, you learn so much from that guy, you know, just because he's been in there for so long. Guys like that, that has wrestled so many people, so many big names, just the mind that he has is crazy. So, you know, every time I was in there with him, I tried to soak up anything that I could from him. And after the matches, before the matches, you know, just talking to him one-on-one, you know, soak in anything you can from him, because he's on the ball whenever he's out there. So it's a good mind in pro wrestling, let me tell you.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but amazing things about Merrick's work behind the scenes and just the mind he has for the business. Obviously, you know, we do realize that, you know, Seth can't be there for every training session, but to have Black and Brave fit into, well, this would be the Brave part of Black and Brave's hands, and putting out, you know, such, you know, quality students, you know, says a lot to it, and how much SCW Pro has been able to grow and maintain itself for 20 years now. And kind of tying this into your feud with Merrick, you did get the opportunity to wrestle a batch of the SCW Pro originals at the 20th anniversary at what may arguably be like the largest crowd SCW Pros ever had. What was that like for you?
That was crazy as well, because going back to watching, going to shows when I was a kid, most of those guys that were in the match, or not even most of them, actually all of them, were wrestling, you know, when I was going, when I was a kid. So it's crazy to get in there with all of them. I've had matches with Shug before, so getting in there with him again, you know, getting in there with him anytime is always a good time. But the other ones that were in the match, you know, it was cool to be able to see them across the ring and like, wow, we're really here doing this, you know, in front of this big old crowd, because that was a very big crowd that night. A lot of fun.
So yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. I was there for that, standing room only. Yeah, and it's not a big venue for those of that aren't familiar with where SCW Pro runs. It's just a community center, so I'm not going to tattle, but I'm curious about the fire code that night, just because so many people there.
It's not that big of a building, but once you if you cram it all people in, and you know, as like you said, standing room only, I mean, it's like, oh my God, it's like a sea of people. And like the way the entrance is in there, when we make our entrance, it's like, it's nuts when it's that packed in there. Cause it's like, wow, there's really that many people in here and we need to get to the ring, you know? So it's like, you know, you always take that in consideration. So it's cool, man, but it always adds to it, especially once you get into the ring and you get to look out at all the people and the whole room's full. You're like, man, you know, we're doing it, you know, this is cool. So.
And kind of going in the same vein of kind of the big SCW Pro events, I guess we're technically going backwards per se, but they've had enough faith in your work and whatnot. You are now a multi-time tag team champion within the promotion.
Yes, you know, how is that?
Three? I missed one somewhere along the line.
Yeah, we are a three-time SCW Pro champion. I believe we won them in like August of 22, December of 22, and then this last run that we just won him back from Merrick and Beck. So yeah, that's three. But yeah, it's been fun. MFG is awesome, great tag team partner. Dude is just a monster in the ring, you know, and he's just a cool person in life. It's awesome tagging with him. It's awesome playing off him when we're out there, because I feel like he's doing the same with me. You know, I'm doing something and then he's reacting to it, or he does something and I react to it. And it just fits, just because, you know, like, it comes down to, we are real true friends, you know, in the business, outside the business, as humans. Always have MFG's back anytime he needs anything he needs, at any point, because he, like I said, he's a good guy as well in pro wrestling, let me tell you. A good brother, as they would say. I guess there's a term for it. Good brother.
And how did you two get paired together? Were you part of the same class?
No, so Gurm, or MFG, excuse me, was two classes before me, I believe. 16. I was 18. And he graduated and went back home. I had my class, which was, you know, about 9 months, a year later after his class, I graduated. He came back. I seen him around the gym, you know, and, you know, I was like, you know, who's this guy? You know, let's start talking to him. And me and him just started being friends, hanging out, you know, a little bit outside the gym. And he wasn't really getting booked on SCW at all, because he just came back to Davenport from Virginia. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what, man, what if we start like a tag team or something? Because I wasn't really getting booked at the time either. This is when I was still wearing those big red shorts. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not, but I was like, you know, how about maybe me and you partner up and see what we can do, see what we can turn it into, see if we can start getting booked a little bit more. And as soon as we did it, like the first maybe 4 or 5 times we went out there, we were still kind of trying to figure out what exactly we were doing. But once we got into our groove, it just kind of took off to us, kind of turning into, humbly me saying, some of the top heels, I feel like, at SCW. I feel like every time we go out there, it's, like I said, just the way we play off each other, everybody gets all riled up. So, like I said, very good tag team partner. And that's how that all went down. I just took it to him, was like, hey, let's try to do this tag team thing. And he was down for it. And like I said, it was just off to the races from there.
No, and obviously, you know, you guys have chemistry. Otherwise, they wouldn't have, you know, had you in tag team championship competition. And I definitely think you guys complement each other's styles rather well, too, and kind of do provide, you kind of make up for some of these spots, maybe the others lacking as well with it. But yeah, you guys are definitely, you know, near the top of SCW. And to further pat you on the back, I mean, not everyone gets to feud with Merrick Brave, so
right,
yeah, he doesn't come back terribly often for big feuds compared to the old days. So
that could have been maybe his last one. You never know.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
anytime he gets in the ring, like, I'm excited, but also like, ooh, this could be the last time, man.
Right.
I know. But the part. So we brought up the tag team. The partners in rhyme gimmick, how did you guys come up with that?
So we got to shoot that to Merrick Brave as well. He kind of, like, once we came to him and told him that we wanted to be a tag team, he was like, all right, well, what's your guys' shtick? And I was like, not sure. I didn't think that far. And he was like, all right, check it out. Maybe you guys can do like these wannabe rappers type thing and just run with that. And as soon as he said that, I was like, all right, well, MFG can be Eminem and I'll be Cheddar Bob. If anybody's familiar with 8 Mile, the Eminem movie, there's this dude in the movie called Cheddar Bob. It's Eminem's little like hype man per se. And in the movie, he's just a kind of a dummy. And then you have Eminem trying to, you know, live out his rap career. So we just kind of tried to bring that to SCW. And we only got maybe like 4 or 5 times on the mic. And then from there, we just kind of turned into these like goons that just kind of started beating up everybody. Like every time the opportunity presented themselves, we kind of cut away from the mic and just started, you know, whooping butt. So that's just kind of what it turned into. So now I just, instead of us looking as rappers, I kind of like look at us as just some goons that were just going to beat you up and take what we want. I mean, that's plain out what it is, man. Hard hitting. You know, we don't really need to do the flips or none of that stuff. We don't need any of that. So that's how I look at it, man.
Wow. Again, it's working out. I've snickered like over the evolution of your guys' character, because I know, especially early on, you know, commentary would just be like, have these guys ever even rapped before? Like, as you're coming out to the ring or whatever. And then I think, and I need to double check this, because I looked fairly recently just to, you know, do my lame attempt at research, because my brain box fails me at times. But I'm pretty sure like one of your cage match listings for SCW is like Wannabe Rappers was your unofficial team name. Like, they didn't even give you a real team name at that point. So you're like in between, like, so like they didn't want to just call you, you know,
that Nico was the Klein figuring it out process.
Yeah, they didn't want to call you Nico Klein and MFG, but you also didn't have the partners and rhyme thing going on yet, or at least as an official team name. And so there's Wannabe Rappers was like the cage match listing on there, but it redirects to partners in rhyme now, so it's, you know, it's all good.
It's funny,
but yeah, I laughed at that one.
That's great.
I don't think I've ever seen it quite like that, or if I have, I just never got it, or you know, it was something I wasn't a wrestler quite as familiar with or hadn't seen in action.
Yeah, that was just creative still deciding what creative wanted to do. Exactly what that was.
Hey, you know. It sometimes, you know, it takes years to kind of figure some of that stuff out, you know, and you got some guys, and I use Warhorse always as this example, is that like forever he was always just kind of like he tried being the littlest Viking because he's not that big of a dude, and then like he tried to be like super serious competitor, and then finally, you know, just before the pandemic, like he did the math correctly, and all of a sudden we have a Warhorse now, and everything just clicked for him, and he'd been in the business, you know, for at least 10 years at that point. So, you know, not to say this is your final form, but you're obviously finding something that's clicking now, at least in the local area. However, how much work are you doing outside of we'll say the Quad City area outside of SCW Pro?
Coming up next year, we got probably about 6 new promotions I'm going to be working for. I'm going to wait until the year we get into the new year to let people know what exactly promotions are going to be. One of them for sure I can confirm for you is going to be the January show for Central Empire. That's coming up. I'm definitely going to be on that show. And I believe in February is the hottest topic, I believe it is, the show's name. They're running their second show. I'm going to be on that show as well. So those are two new promotions I'm going to be hitting up. Anywhere that needs me, I'll go and travel. I'm licensed in Missouri. So if I need to go down there anywhere in Missouri, I can wrestle. And hopefully it'll be a whole bunch of new promotions here in 2024.
There you go. And continuing the kind of like the theme of kind of like putting it all together, extra work. Have you had the opportunity to work with either AEW or WWE?
Yeah. I've actually had multiple times doing extra work with WWE. It is a fun experience. You know, you get to go back there and, you know, see how the whole operation works, you know, from literally the setup to the main event until they ring the last bell until they go off television. It's always a good time, you know. Always try to soak in as much as you can. Anytime anybody stops and like has a second to talk to you, always listen to what they have to say, you know, because they don't have to stop and talk to you, you know, because their day is probably a lot more hectic and busier than our extra work day, because as an extra you either do whatever you need on the show for the segment real quick, or you don't do anything. You just sit there and chill until they might need you. So you just sit there and you just hope for the best. But fortunately, you know, what happened to me was the first time I got to do action work, I got to do it and I was the doctor for a Judgment Day segment. So that was pretty cool, because usually, you know, your first time at extra work, you might not get anything. So they used me my first time, which was cool.
Oh, and you got a real character too. You weren't just like generic security guy. Like you got to
right. Be... Yeah. I got to do this little doctor segment. It was like a 2-minute little segment between the Judgment Day and Dominic. He got like this mist sprayed in his eyes from Asuka. But that was the only time I've ever played like a doctor. The only other times was doing security, but that's always fun too. The best part is the pull apart. Those are always fun.
Have you had an opportunity to do any like a squash match or be televised in ring yet?
I have not, no, but you know, always looking forward to that. Looking forward to that.
And I know that one's a little bit harder to come by nowadays, because I know they don't do near as many squash matches with local competitors as they used to. But I was like asking that question, and you know, being able to see any of y'all on TV is cool to begin with. But yes, Doctor's fun, but being able to say like, oh, dude, that's Nico in there getting killed by Dominic Mysterio or whatever. Like that's the next level. Next level, awesome.
Yeah, man, we hope for it.
That being said, you mentioned starting to branch out a bit more next year and talked a little bit about extra work. You know, where do you see yourself, say, in like 5 years?
5 years, I'd hope to be five years from now, man, we're going to be probably about 8 years in. So first and foremost, I want to be healthy, making sure everything is still intact. I still want to make sure that if I am still wrestling at that point, I hope I am. I want to make sure that I still do love wrestling at that point, because there comes a point in wrestling where you might kind of fall out of love with it a little bit, just because what's going on, either mentally, physically, or what's going on in the pro wrestling world. So hopefully at that point, I still really like it and I'm in love with it, just like how I am now. So I hope for that. Where I am, like, living wise, it's hard to tell, because you never know. At that point, if I am signed, the goal would obviously be down in Florida, hopefully with WWE. If we're not signed in 5 years, we're going to be probably somewhere right around the Midwest, still doing promotions around the Midwest. If that's what ends up happening, you never know what's going to happen in 5 years. But first and foremost, like I said, I hope I'm healthy. And I hope that at that point, I still am in love with wrestling like I am now.
And honestly, realistic goals are the best goals. Though to follow up with this, though, we'll say health and passion, notwithstanding, what is the goal, like, career-wise, company-wise? Do you see yourself as a WWE guy, an AEW guy, or, one of those guys that just travel strictly around the world freelance?
Obviously, like, the end goal and like all the hard work would be to go to WWE. I mean, that's just what I've been watching since I was younger. That's what gets all the views. That's, the best, biggest spot is WWE. My trainer is literally, the world heavyweight champion right now. Has been in the WWE. Nothing against AEW. Obviously, if a contract would come from them, or a contract would come from any of the promotions that's going to pay me weekly, every 2 weeks, monthly, however they want to do it, as long as I'm getting paid, I'm going to sign it. But obviously, WWE would always be the end goal. Obviously, being the world heavyweight champion, that's the dream big. But just having a WWE contract would, be the first thing. Being able to buy a house from pro wrestling would be dope. Being able to pay off a nice car from pro wrestling would be dope. Making sure my mom, my dad, are taken care of from pro wrestling, from WWE, would be cool. The same thing that we're all dreaming for, the same reason why we all signed up for wrestling. Anybody that's wrestling or in pro wrestling or on the indies, unless they're guys that have already made it and came back to the indies, everybody's fighting to go to WWE. Like, everybody's training. Like, if you actually take this seriously, like, you actually wake up and you go to the gym on a frequent basics, 5 to 6 days a week, actually putting in 2-3 hours a day, training, ring time, making bookings. Like, if you actually really want this, man, the end goal is WWE. That should be anybody's answer, So that's where I see myself, hopefully, in WWE one day, at least to a tryout, so I can try and at least say I've been there and I've tried to do it.
And I always feel like, at least at me looking, it can be overanalyzing it, but I feel like to ask a Black and Brave graduate that question is almost loaded, because, like, well, yeah, I would like the opportunity to, work with my trainer at the biggest stage of them all. But, now we actually have alternatives to the WWE, though. A lot of us growing up with the WWE still, like, that's the dream, main eventing WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Championship. So I'm not faulting anybody, especially you. Dude, go where you get paid, regardless.
Right.
And because, money on the indies is not always kind.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, you just got to be real with yourself. You got to sit back and look and, be honest. Like, how many guys from Black and Brave have made it to WWE so far? One. Yeah. So you got to be real. You got to put in the work. You got to try hard. And hope for the best and just hope that it comes, you know. You just got to hope for it.
Nope, exactly. And just hope all the pieces fall at the right time.
Exactly.
So we're going to wind things down here, and I'm going to add, before we kind of give you the plugs and whatever else you need to promote, I ask this of all the local guys, just because this is about as close as I come to starting actual stuff backstage. But bear in mind, I'm 40, no athletic talent, and definitely not a trained pro wrestler. I walk into the SCW Pro locker room. Who could I take in a match?
Who can you take in a match? You know, I'm going to be super honest with you, man. I know you just had him on the pod, but Corn Boy, he's not as strong as he comes off, man. I know in the ring, you know, he gets up in the, you know, on the corner and hits his little drop kick off the top and, you know, hits his little roll up for the finish, you know, and has the corn and all. But I'm telling you, man. A man isn't that strong, man. During the summer, he's just mowing grass, and during the winter, he's just shoveling snow, man. That's all he's doing. So, I don't know. I really think you could probably take on Corn Boy. Corn Boy, Kevin Gutierrez.
I'm making the list because actually, so far, I've gotten a different answer each time. So, I actually think that's the most interesting part so far, is that, you know what? No one's like universally said. You could beat up Devil Dog. Oh, that's a terrible example to go by. I at least going by looks alone, like, well, and his background. So like that is the worst. That is the worst thing to think of off the top of my head, honestly. But it's just like someone different every time. And I do think that's fascinating. Unless this is all just going to end up being it's going to be a work, and just one day I'm just going to put my money down for a ticket, and it turns out there was no show. It was just an elaborate ruse now that everyone wants to beat me. That's probably
it's gonna be. Everybody's in on it except you.
Yeah. We're all just gonna say each other's names, make it sound like we're so indecented. We're just gonna beat up that neck beard. And
that's funny.
It was probably paid by my wife. Probably how it's gonna go. But that being said, it's been great having you on the show, and it's been great watching you the last couple of years grow in SCW. And I'm hoping, you know, to be able to see you elsewhere, because it's a big wrestling world out there. But before we wander off, where can we find you on the internet, maybe buy merch or anything of the like?
So on Instagram or Twitter, Nico Klein. Pretty simple. Nico, Niko Klein, Kline. I always have merch on me at shows. I am not hooked up or plugged on any websites at the moment, so you would have to hit me up for in person. I always have t-shirts, 8x10s, anything else you might need. I don't really do very many other socials, but Instagram and Twitter, kind of stay and keep Facebook for private use. So, but yeah, that's about it, man.
There you go. And of course, those of us that aren't in the local area can possibly catch Nico every other week at SCW Pro at Home, the YouTube show at the SCW Pro YouTube channel. And yeah, I think we've covered all the important things anyway, at least this time around. If we miss something, well, we'll just have you back on again. I have no qualms about it, bringing people back. But you
works.
Know, yeah, but thank you much for coming on, and you know, best of luck in the future.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Major League Pod, amongst other shows, on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts such as this. My social media links can be found in the description below, but Twitter and Instagram are at The Nova of Cass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, you can go to patreon.com/Casanova whereas for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and ad-free, plus other weekly exclusive content such as athome.exe, the Patreon-exclusive podcast. So, join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, Alex McCarthy, and The False Prophet, and check it all out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast store on Teespring. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that's K-A-M-E-R-E-R, at comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.